This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of Your Legal Rights, the topic is trucking law, new safety technology, and catastrophic accidents. We all need to be extra careful driving this holiday season. The UPS, FedEx, and the U.S. Postal Service project that 15.5 million trucks will be delivering 1.7 billion, that's with a B, packages this holiday season. The National Highway Traffic Safety Association estimates that during this holiday season, there will be 45 to 54 deaths per day on our U.S. state's roads. So we've got to be really, really careful. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which certifies several areas of the law. Additional funding for the program is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. My guests are truck accident attorneys Rena Lieserman of the Toledo, Ohio law firm of E.J. Lieserman and Associates, and Joseph Freed of the Atlanta, Georgia law firm of Freed, Rogers, and Goldberg. Both guests are members of the National Board of Trial Advocacy Truck Accident Division and of the Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys. Let me tell you, before we talk to them, just a little tiny bit more about them. Rena also, besides being a full-time lawyer, teaches an advanced doctrinal seminar in trucking law at the University of Toledo, Ohio School of Law. And Joe was awarded Trucking Trial Lawyer of the Year 2013 to 2014 by the American Association for Justice. So welcome to both of you. I'm awful glad you're here.
Thanks, Chuck. Much appreciated.
And Rena, you're there, right?
I am here.
Oh, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Okay, let's do this. Joe, I guess we'll start with you, Joe. What's the problem here, if there is one?
Well, there's definitely a problem here. First of all, you know, I just heard you say, and it struck me, that over this holiday season, there's going to be 45 to 54 deaths per day. And, you know, I've seen statistics that say every 16 minutes, there's a serious injury or death involving a truck crash. And you know, it's horrible to think that. We hear the statistics, but when they get close to home, it's a big deal.
It sure is.
And not only that, it's made much, much worse knowing how much of this is avoidable. So you ask me what the problem is, and you know, we can talk about a lot of different things, but there's a couple things I want to mention on the front end, and we
Please.
Can talk through the program. One is that the whole, in the industry, all the incentives are set up wrong. You know, it's important for everybody who's listening to this to understand that I'm not against, and I know Rena's not against, trucking or the trucking industry or truck drivers. That's not what we're about at all. We're about trying to prevent dangerous practices. And so when you look at the industry and you look at the systems that the industry employs, the incentives are wrong. Everything pushes toward the driver. I'll give you an example. If there's any delay on the roadway, drivers are paid by the mile. They're not paid by time. So when there's a delay, the driver's not making any money. The person who is least capable of absorbing the loss is the person who is made to absorb the loss in the industry. So I think underlying one of the biggest underlying factors, we could change everything if we change truckers to hourly employees mm-hmm. who got paid fairly for time that they spent driving, regardless of whether their wheels were moving.
Joe, is that on a national basis that truckers are paid by the mile as opposed by the hour throughout the United States?
That's true, yes, sir. Oh, wow. There are a few trucking companies I'm aware of around the country who pay by the hour. And if you look at their safety statistics and their statistics showing their compliance with regulations around the country, they beat everybody by a landslide.
Mm.
And there's a good reason for that. And it feeds into the second problem, which is that you have huge growth in trucking on one hand, so you have this huge need for competent truck drivers, and yet we have a huge shortage already of truck drivers. In the industry, they estimate between 50,000 and 100,000 of a truck driver shortage, depending on who you ask.
Wow.
That's a lot. Now, the reason that translates into a safety problem, on top of it being a business problem, is truck, what is a trucking company going to do if they need somebody in the seat of that truck and they just can't find somebody who meets the higher standard that they would like to hire for? Are they going to just do without, or are they going to dip down and hire somebody who may have a safety problem and cross their fingers and hope for the best? You can see how if you look at that systemically and how often that happens, I know Rena would agree with me. We see that too frequently when we dig into these cases that we're digging into across the United States on a day-to-day basis.
So a good percentage of these accidents are caused by people who are not really competent to drive. Is that what you're saying?
Well,
exhausted. They may be competent to drive, but they're pushed so incredibly hard because they can't make a reasonable living otherwise. Mm. You're dealing with an industry, Chuck, that has over 100% turnover. That means that a driver hired earlier this year by a company, the statistics say he or she is not there anymore by this time of the year.
Oh my, that's incredible.
So every year, the entire company turns over in terms of drivers.
Rena, what is the government? Let me turn, if I may, Joe, to Rena for a moment. What is the government, Rena, doing now to deal with this problem, if anything?
So there's a lot that's been done, and while certainly there's more that could be done, right? There's a number of federal safety regulations that are designed to try to combat some of these issues. Because there's still the competitive forces after deregulation, there's a lot of competition, and so that still causes the cutthroat rates, which as a result of trying to get the low rates, there's all these ways where companies try to round following these safety standards because it's expensive, frankly, to follow them. And of course, what's at stake, though, is human lives. So to start with, before these regulations, all a driver needed to do was pass a regular written chauffeur's test, the same one that any taxi driver would follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then in around the 90s, you know, after all these reports of just tremendous numbers of people being killed and injured by truck crashes, there was a whole new system in place for a CDL, which is just a commercial driver's license. And there's these safety regulations. And now every motor carrier, every trucking company on the road is required to follow these regulations. In fact, they swear to know all of the rules. And these are the bare minimum standards they have to do. And they're complex, and a lot of companies try to avoid following them. And then there's also there's compliant companies that do follow them. And I'll give some examples of them. So there's rules that say what makes a vehicle safe and unsafe, and that if a vehicle is unsafe, it has to be put out of service, for example. There's rules that say that every driver has to do something called a pre-trip inspection. They have to do a detailed inspection of the truck. They have to check the service brakes, the steering, all the things you would think of, but it's a very specific list. And at the end of the day, they have to do an end-of-day report and say how the truck is doing according to that list. And they have to keep records of this. There's an annual inspection that must be done. The company has to maintain a register of all the crashes. There's loading procedures. There's even rules for warning devices. You know, if a truck is on the side of the road, they have to put out a certain number of cones, a certain amount of distance, and a certain amount of time. A major rule that people I don't know if people know, but for adverse weather, that there's actually a rule that says a driver must exercise extreme caution when there's hazardous conditions, meaning it might be okay to follow the speed limit on a normal day, but if it's raining out, that speed limit's not appropriate. And that requires training to know what that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Some other regulations, I'll just hit at a couple of them, I don't want to make it too technical, is for drug testing, and that was a big thing in the industry, is now it's required that there's pre-employment drug testing, and there's also random periodic drug testing. And then the thing that is probably the most important area is the hours of service regulations. Joe was talking about, you know, one of the major causes of crashes is that drivers are exhausted, and these hours of service regulations were designed to make sure that drivers had a certain number of hours of breaks, a certain number of days of breaks, a certain number of hours of breaks, so that they wouldn't be exhausted. And they're supposed to keep logs of that. So that's kind of a broad stroke of the regulations. You know, there's a lot of details there, but that's kind of the general topics.
Wow. The more both of you talk, the more is I don't even want to go on the freeway this holiday season. No, I'm serious.
Chuck, let me tell you. Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
As I was listening to Rena, a few things struck me. You know, one, despite all of these regulations, here's something that I know the listeners don't know. One, if you look on the national statistics today, if you go look online, I could tell you where if anybody wanted to, you would see what the national statistic is for what's called out of service. That means what's the percentage of trucks that when they are pulled over and examined, inspected by somebody who's competent to inspect them, not only would they get a ticket, but it's so bad that they would be put out of service. They would be required to park until something is fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we're talking about things like brake problems, things leaking parts of the truck that aren't supposed to be leaking, all these types of things.
Mm-hmm.
The national statistic is right around 20%, and that means one in five trucks that you pass or are passing you right now or when you're going around, one in five of those trucks, if it was pulled over, would be deemed so unsafe it would have to be parked until fixed, and we as a society tolerate that and say that's okay.
Wow. Now that is really scary. How much? Let me ask you both this question. I drive the freeway not that often, but I drive Highway 101, which is a long highway in California in the Bay Area, where I am at least. And sometimes when I'm driving either to the right of a truck or the left of the truck, I feel a little apprehensive. What thoughts do you have about someone trying not to drive on the left side of a truck or on the right side of a truck, or do you feel it makes any difference?
Reno, do you want to take that?
No, you can go ahead with that one.
Well, you know, Chuck, I spent some time in police work before I went to law
school. That's why I figured you'd be better there.
I've worked a lot of wrecks where people, where people unfortunately have been hurt and et cetera. If your question is, should you go around the truck on the right side or go around the truck on the left side?
Or not drive by the truck, but next to the side of the truck.
Yeah. Well, either side of the truck that you're going to drive on, there is at least the potential for blind spots.
Yeah.
I mean, if truck drivers properly adjust their mirrors and they use sort of the best industry standard mirrors, they can really avoid a lot of the blind spots, and they're trained to never move their truck until they know for sure nobody's there.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know sometimes that doesn't happen. But if you have to go around either side, go around on the left side. Don't go around on the right side.
Now, why do you say that?
I say it because from my experience, there are fewer wrecks involving lane changes to the left by tractor-trailer drivers.
Thank you. That's very significant, I think, from my standpoint.
When the driver wants to get back over to the right, it's just, I don't know if it's a false sense of security, but in my experience, it's more dangerous to be passing on the
right. Wow.
And I'll add to that, even though it wasn't asked, it's something that I'm not sure people realize, is that one is the issue of just, changing lanes, but also I was always taught, before I got into this area of the law, I was taught, if you have any problem on the road, pull over, right? I think that's what I was taught. If you get, if you need to pull over, you need to take a rest, you need to check something, pull over to the side of the road.
Right.
When a significant number of the crashes that come before me with people's legs being taken, with people, with numerous fatalities, plenty of them are from people lawfully, properly on the side of the road over the white line. And, those trucks, if a driver's a little bit tired, not paying attention, it just dips, doesn't see you, or is just not properly managing the vehicle, or there's a tire blowout. So many times it's a few inches of someone going over the line, a truck going over the line,
wow,
that takes someone's life. And so, you know, one, if there's any way you can get off the highway altogether, wait to the next exit if it's something that could wait. And if you must pull over, to really get far, you know, really push that car over, because so many times, we've had one tractor trailer hit another tractor trailer, meaning it's a huge vehicle, and it still gets hit.
Oh, my. Wow.
So.
Well, let me do this. I want to make a couple of announcements and let everybody know that this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Our topic is trucking law and new safety technology and catastrophic accidents. If you're listening to the live program, in a few minutes I'll give you our toll-free number to call in. I want to let you know about a couple of things coming up. And you might want to jot down this number. That's not for tonight, but in a couple of weeks and then in January. A magic number is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. And on this Wednesday evening, December 28th, is our next monthly Call a Lawyer night, where at 7 p.m. Pacific time, where you can call in while I'm doing the live program, you can call in and speak to several different attorneys in different legal areas off the air. It's a great service that we've been doing for many years now. Now, that's December 28th, that Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. On January 11th, that Wednesday evening, we're doing a special program on immigration law and issues. This could be a very significance to, a great significance to a lot of people. That'll also be at 7 p.m. And we will be doing also, while I'm doing the live program on immigration law and issues, we will have a number of immigration attorneys for our Call a Lawyer night off the air. Again, that number, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. If you want to put that down, whether you're able to listen to the live program or not on either of those dates, December 28th or January 11th, you can call in on that 1-800 number and speak to attorneys off the air. Let me tell you who my guests are. They are truck accident attorneys. They are members of the National Board of Trial Advocacy Truck Accident Division and also the Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys Organization. They are Joe Freed of the Atlanta, Georgia law firm of Freed, Rogers, and Goldberg, and Rena Leeserman of the Toledo, Ohio law firm of E.J. Leeserman and Associates. Let me come back to, you, Joe, if you would. What is the American Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys, and what significance would that be for, let's say, someone who might be in a truck accident and a consumer and looking for a lawyer?
Well, Chuck, the Academy was born out of the frustration of a couple of lawyers. I was one of them, who were sort of tired of seeing, I don't know how to say this, and I'm not going to mince words about it. It seems that these days anybody can sort of advertise anything on the Internet in terms of their competencies, and sometimes it's true and maybe sometimes it's not. And I know one of the things that's near and dear to your heart is certification and how that certification in the field of law.
That's correct.
Specialties.
Yeah.
And so one of the big motivators, if you will, for the Academy was to try to create a community of people who this is really what they do. It's not just what they say they do, but how could we create something that had at its core the proper education of lawyers in this field, really cutting edge. How do we do this to make lawyers around the country more competent to handle these cases? And how do we do something in addition to that to make it so that those lawyers who take the time to really delve into this area, really learn it, and have documented experience in handling these cases at the highest level, how can we create something for them that they can tell the world, you know, show the world that they have this competency through a vetted process that is not just somebody saying something on the Internet? And so the Academy was born to educate. The Academy was born to create this community so that we could continue to help each other. And what's great about this is not only from a consumer perspective, what's great about it is we are raising the bar on how these cases are handled around the country. We are making sure that there are lawyers across the country who know how to handle this, and the lawyers who know how to handle it hopefully are going to be recognized for that through what we're working on now, which is a certification process.
Now, the National Board of Trial Advocacy has this truck accident division, and I think it is trying to build a listing of truck accident attorneys who specialize in that. Is that your understanding, Rena and Joe?
That's correct, and it'll be tied to the certification, you know, with an exam and a set of criteria that that the public will be able to rely on, that the attorney they're getting is that what they say they are is what they actually are, which is somebody who's had years of experience focusing on these kinds of cases and the complexities of them.
Now, how by the way, does someone get in touch with the other organization, Joe, that you helped to set up, the Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys? Can they just Google that and get a number, or do you want to give an 800 number at this point?
Absolutely. I think it's easier for everybody. Just Google Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys, and it'll come up. And you know, this is really a labor of love, and it's really born out of nobody's trying to make any money doing this. Nobody's trying to set themselves up as a kingpin by doing this. This is a group of people who have come together, who are working essentially for free in order to make something happen that's positive for consumers. And at the end of the day, the real goal here is an improvement in highway safety. It's not an organization that's anti-trucking, like I said earlier. In fact, Rena and I both represent many, many, many truckers and their families when truckers are hurt by other truckers. So that's, you know, the Academy is a very special thing. It's very near and dear to both Rena and my heart.
So if someone gets in an accident and is looking for someone who specializes in truck accidents, they can Google the Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys. Also, I want to let everybody know that if you want to find out more about the National Board of Trial Advocacy and its accident truck division, you can go to, actually also Google National Board of Trial Advocacy, but it has a website, which is www.nbta for National Board of Trial Advocacy, nbtalawyers.org. Before we end the statewide version, in California, we record the first half hour. That is then sent out to 15 stations, in most of which are in California, which will air the first half hour actually next week. So what I want to do is have you talk a bit about, if you would, what does someone do if they're in a crash? That's what I'd like you to, in the remaining about 4 minutes or so that we have of the program. What does someone do?
Rena, you want to take that or you want me to handle it?
I'll start, and why don't you finish it up? We can do a little bit of it.
That's great.
I mean, the first thing to do, right, is to call 911 on your cell phone. Get help, right? Call 911. Stay calm. And get off the road. Put your flashers on. You don't want. You know, there's often there's often a crash, and then a secondary crash, and then a third, because one car piles into another and pulls into another. So getting off the road and getting your flashers on is really important. And then, Joe, if you want to take it, next step from there.
I really want to highlight that last thing you said. There's a lot of confusion out there with people. Am I supposed to stay exactly where I am and wait for the police officer? Am I going to get myself messed up if I move my vehicle, and is the police going to be upset about that? Are the police going to be upset about that? Safety is much more important than anything else.
Yeah.
And you know, I've personally seen the effects of not doing this, and I'm sure that the people were well-intentioned in thinking law enforcement might get upset with them. Get off the road. Get way away from the roadway. If you can't get off the roadway, another question that comes up all the time is, should you stay in your car or get out of your car? Well, if you can get off the roadway, my recommendation is get off the roadway and then get out of your car and move away from your car. If you're in the roadway, what you should do is probably stay in your car. Unless you are absolutely certain that you can safely get out of your car and get to the side.
Yeah.
If there's any question about it, you're better off staying in your car, stay seat belted, and call for help.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your flashers are on. So those are the key things, and those are the questions that people ask a lot about what to do if you're in a crash.
Do you feel if someone is really, let's say, a real advocate for his or her or their own safety, that it would make any sense for people to buy these rubber, I forget what the proper terminology is. You see them, the trucks sometimes put them out when they're trying to let people know, hey, you got to come around the truck. Do you think that is something that the individual average person should have, one or two or maybe even three of those rubber things that are like two feet high in their trunk, so if there is an accident,
cones?
They can put it out?
Some of them are cones and some of them are foldable triangles.
Yeah,
You know, well, first of all, people aren't required to have them.
No, I know that. I know
what
that.
What concerns me about that is people trying to go and put them out in the roadway
and
getting themselves in trouble doing that. If you are in a situation where you want to try to warn warn other vehicles, you have to be super careful doing it, and you need to get way away from the vehicle. You have to give plenty of notice.
Because we have cases where even when there's flashers on, and you couldn't even imagine how can they not see it.
Yeah.
But that those secondary crashes are the most painful. You know, it's horrible when it's already the initial crash, but when one crash turns into three or a huge pileup, you know.
We have one half minute of the statewide version left, so if you would, in about 20-some-odd seconds, complete what you're saying. And if I may for just a moment, this program is an hour in the Bay Area, hour on the Internet. It's also uplinked to the NPR satellite. You can hear the entire hour of the program, if you want, by a free podcast at www.kow.org/RSS, if you would like. All right. What I'm going to do now, Rena and Joe, I'm going to let the listeners know that they can call in and ask you questions, make comments, etc. We have a toll-free number. Wherever you may be, whether it's California or anywhere in the United States, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you would like to call in with a question, a comment, or whatever regarding, let's say, an accident with a truck or something that you feel you have a question about or something that you feel would help others who are listening to this program, please join us with that. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. For a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services of the San Francisco Bar, it's 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, California, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 360-369-4149. If you are in any other county in California, and I think we have something like 57, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do the best to find an attorney who's experienced in the area and set you up for a half an hour consultation with the attorney. With minor exception, for a half an hour consultation, you will be charged in California between $25 and $35. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep it going. It's a great service, great way to get some basic information. Additional funding for your legal rights is made possible by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar of California, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. If you've tuned in late, let me tell you who my guests are. They are truck accident attorneys who are members of the National Board of Trial Advocacy Truck Accident Division and of the Academy of Truck Accident Attorneys, and they are Rena Leizerman, that's L-E-I-Z-E-R-M-A-N, of the Toledo, Ohio law firm of E.J. Leizerman and Associates, and Joseph Freed, F-R-I-E-D, of the Atlanta, Georgia law firm of Freed, Rogers, and Goldberg. And we are doing this program live on Wednesday evening, December 14th. So if you get the program delayed and you hear the phone number, they're not going to be here after December 14th. So again, the toll-free number tonight in California and across the country is 1-866-798-8255, and don't be bashful. I cut you both off at the very end of the half hour, and let's get back to, I think, Joe, you were talking. Go ahead, finish what you were saying, if you would.
Well, I'm not sure exactly where I was. We were talking about making sure about what the safest way to handle yourself if you got in a car wreck.
That's right.
If you got in a wreck, and we covered that.
Yes.
You know, one of the areas we are still very open to talk about, if and when the time is right, are some of the new safety technologies that exist for these trucks.
Let's do this. Let me give one of our listeners a chance, and we'll come to that after we talk with Claudia. Claudia, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hello.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, go ahead. Is this Claudia? Claudia, are you there? I guess we must have lost Claudia.
Did we scare her away?
I think we must have scared her away. I don't know what happened there. In any event, Joe, go ahead with what you wanted to talk about.
Well, you know, in the first half hour, we talked about sort of what the problems were, and we talked about regulations, and you know, if you look at this whole system, the whole system is really a voluntary compliance system to a large degree. We require trucking companies to sort of swear that they're going to follow the rules in order to get the licensure to go and earn money by driving trucks on the road, and they swear they're going to follow the rules, understand the rules, and follow the rules. And then we don't really have enough law enforcement people to police that industry, so we sort of rely on them to follow the promises that they give us. And therein sort of lies the beauty of this and the problem with it. So what's happened now that's different is we're starting to move into an era where technology that's now currently available can sort of help fix the problem. And I'll give you one example, and I think let me give you two examples.
Please.
One is having to do with what Rena talked about earlier about the hours of service requirements, which is just those are the rules that govern how many hours a trucker is allowed to drive before he or she has to stop to rest for a period of time, and there's a sophisticated set of rules about that. But it's a voluntary compliance system. Now, historically, before a few years ago, truckers would literally keep paper logs. They would fill the logs out, and they were supposed to fill them out contemporaneously as they went through their day. And truckers got a bad name for keeping a double set of logs. The real one, the one they got paid based on, and then the ones that they would show law enforcement if they ever got stopped and questioned.
Mm.
But what's happened now is the electronic age has hit trucking, and they have electronic logging devices that, yeah, you can still play games with them if you're a trucker and you know how to, but as a general rule, the electronic logging devices know when the vehicle is in motion, and they log the time. So it's harder to get around hours of service regulations. And it also makes it easier for trucking companies who really want to monitor and supervise their drivers' hours of service to do so, because they'll get real-time reports, real-time exception reports showing when drivers are out of time.
Is this, Joe, technology, though, something required under federal law, or is this just something that's starting, that's becoming available and trucking companies can use it?
Electronic logging devices are now going to be part of the requirement. It would take me a while to explain all the details of what that means. But, yeah, trucking companies moving forward from here are going to be required to, some already are and some will be soon, required to have electronic logging devices. And as a result of that, there's been a huge, you know, there's all this technology, all these companies who've jumped on the bandwagon now to put products out there. Some of the products literally operate out of cell phones, but some of them are installed into the truck, hardwired into the truck's electronic or engine control module, and they electronically log the time and the distance, and some of them are also capable of sending reports back that go beyond the hours of service. They will, if they're tied into the engine control module of the truck, they could send back data to the trucking company safety department that shows when a trucker is speeding or shows when a trucker has too many what are called hard brake events, which is something that that is what it says. It's when a trucker has to slam on the brakes. If you're having to slam on the brakes a lot, that's an indicator that you're not the safest driver out there.
Again, Joel, I guess the matter is try not to be on the right side of a truck, and you as the driver of, let's say, a private vehicle that is a regular car, you don't want to be driving, let's say, in front of a truck, I would think.
Well, now that leads me to the second point.
And okay,
Chuck, this is really my soapbox, if you'll give me a moment on it.
Certainly, go ahead.
It's this, because there is nothing out there that would have a more dramatic effect on highway safety than what I'm about to tell you about. And a lot of people know it from their own cars and the new cars that are coming out. And it's called emergency automatic braking or automatic emergency braking, depending on who you're talking to.
Yeah.
And the technology has now been not only available, but it's been perfected, largely perfected, that looks out in front of the vehicle, whether it's a truck or a car. It looks out in front, and it is able to detect things, regardless of whether the driver is paying attention or not, regardless of even what the weather conditions are. It's able to detect a problem in the road ahead, and it's able to, if the driver does not react to that in a timely manner, it's able to automatically brake the vehicle all the way down to a stop. The statistics show that 87 to 89% of forward collisions are avoided in vehicles that have this technology. So I've seen statistics from the industry. This isn't some safety organization or some plaintiff's lawyer organization, but from the industry, that says that once you get to about an 80% compliance, this would avoid over 50% of the fatalities on the road.
Wow, that's incredible. Now, this is not required under federal law yet. Is that right?
It's not required. It's not required for trucks or cars.
Too bad.
But it's got the attention of everybody.
Good.
Finally.
Good.
Some people have seen some bad press about this. Not long ago, there was a Tesla vehicle that had this technology, and this forward-looking technology failed. It wasn't able to pick up something ahead, and there was a crash that involved a fatality.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that does not stymie the efforts here. I mean, keeping your eye on the ball, this technology has and we have it right now. It's sickening to me to know that next week or the week after, I'm going to be sitting in the living room of somebody talking to them about their loved one not being here, and knowing inside that if that truck had emergency braking capability, we wouldn't be here right now.
Oh my!
It bothers me. This is what keeps me up at night.
Do you think, Joe and Rena? Do you think with this emergency braking technology that a trucking company that does not install this in its vehicles at some point will become, even though, let's say, we don't have mandatory law either on a state or federal level, do you think that could be the basis of negligence on the part of the trucking company for not installing it?
I absolutely think it could. I definitely think it should, whether it could, right? You know, what a court would think of that. But the trucking regulations are minimum standards, bare minimum standards.
Too bad.
That every company has to do.
Too
but
bad.
The law of negligence fills in the gaps. Just because someone's followed the law doesn't mean that they've exercised due care for the situation.
Yeah.
And knowing what we know now about this technology, it seems to me, you know, the cost of it is certainly worth the number of lives that are saved, and to not do it would be an unreasonable exercise, you know, a lack of care.
I think so, that's... Go ahead. Finish, Rena.
Oh, go ahead,
Rena. I was going to move into actually talking about dash cam videos.
Let me do this. We've got Karen who would like to ask you a question. She's been very patient. Karen, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, Chuck. Hey, really great topic. So my concern are the driverless vehicles that we're all getting jammed down our throats. So
did you hear about the yesterday?
They want to have driverless 55-footers tooling down the freeways across America. So what if you get into an accident with a truck and you get out and there's nobody behind the wheel in the truck?
Let me get some comments for you, Karen. It's
that is the most height of idiocy, technology aside.
Yeah.
When a driverless car gets into an accident with a driverless truck and you get a 100-car pileup, what do you do?
Let me get some comments for you, Karen, because I have also been... Turn your radio back up to get some comments from my guests. I've also been concerned about this, not just with the trucking situation, but also just regular cars that I know that I believe Uber is talking about having driverless cars. And I'm wondering if, Rena, you and Joe have some comments in response to Karen's concerns.
Well, I'll start, but I know Joe's going to have something to say about this. But, I think it was yesterday, it certainly wasn't the past week, that I think it was Uber put the first driverless truck delivery, and it delivered 58,000 pounds of beer.
Of beer? Oh, my.
Yep, I believe that's what happened this week. And I just wanted to note that the technology, it's happening, right, whether we want it to or not. It's going, they're moving forward. And I do think it presents a lot of problems. It doesn't mean that I think that it should never be used, because so many crashes are due to human error, and that's just been shown over and over again. And at the same time, the technology is a long way. It still can't detect pedestrians. It misses animals. It misses a lot of things that, to me, it's just we're not there yet. There's also an issue of just jobs in the industry, too. I mean, it's a
Of course.
So, but, Joe, I'll let you talk a little bit more about it, too.
Joe?
Karen, something to say.
What do you have
Karen,
to say, Joe?
Karen, it's a great question, and it's a big, giant question mark. And Rena's right. I think it says something about our country that our first delivery was beer. that delivery, just so that you know, that truck was accompanied by 9 other vehicles, including a host of state police, as it made its way slowly to make its delivery. So
did the state police have reins on the truck?
No.
Like you have a horse and wagon?
not that I'm aware
of. Yeah, I bet.
I mean, we're a far way off from this becoming a reality, but it's even more than you're saying, Karen. There it's not only that they want to have one truck, they want to have caravans of trucks that are traveling 3, 4, 5, 6 deep that are running without any driver. Now I'll tell you, the technology is quite amazing. This is a big part of my life. I'm following it very, very closely. They just had a study. So emergency braking is a part of that concept. Okay, the emergency braking that we were just talking about is a step in the right direction that I fully and completely endorse. It doesn't get the driver out of the vehicle, but it reacts if the driver doesn't react.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely, Karen, I wish I could look you in the eye and tell you how much I believe in that technology and how I know it would save people's lives, and it's driving me crazy that we can't get it moving fast enough.
Joe, let me throw this question to you and Rena, and that's this. In light of what you have just said, do you think that we should have a law that requires, even if there is a technology where, for, as Karen has said, this truck had no driver in it and it was all driving by itself, not necessarily with beer, but whatever it may have been for the future, do you think that we should have laws in the United States, whether it's federal and or by state, where there's a requirement that even though we may have this technology that the vehicle can drive on its own, that we have to have a driver behind the steering wheel so that in the event that maybe something goes wrong with the technology, we've got a driver there as a backup. What comments do you have on that?
Well, I'll start on that one and say,
if you would.
Welcome to the airline industry. Every plane you get into uses autopilot but it always has a pilot there, in fact, more than one, who is competent to take over the controls and deal with things that come up that fall outside the norm. Now, I think this technology is going to happen. I think that, you know, we're moving towards the George Jetson era, where it's getting better and better over time.
But they're not going to fly like in the Jetsons. No flying.
Well, who knows? Maybe we'll be flying trucks next. But I think at the end of the day, you asked the question very directly. I think that what we're going to have is it's going to be a long time until they're totally nobody in the vehicle. And keep in mind, if you ever, God forbid, were in a situation where you were in a wreck with a driverless vehicle, that driverless vehicle probably has already notified the police and notified somebody within the system to send help and notified them of the crash. And everything that happened in terms of what that vehicle did is going to have been recorded in some kind of a system, and somebody's going to be able to look at it to see who's responsible for what. So there's some good that comes from this, and we're going to have to wait and see. It's kind of an exciting and scary time at the same time.
Rena, do you have some comments?
Yeah, I wanted to add that, you know, because I know there's some, for example, there's some areas where I've seen where there's dedicated bus lanes, there's dedicated bike lanes.
Oh, yes.
Perhaps there'll be dedicated lanes for these kinds of deliveries. I don't think we're anywhere close to full-on, driverless, and I'm not even sure that's the goal that we want. I want safer, and safer might be all of this technology with the driver still there to deal with all of the issues. To the extent that there were going to ever be driverless trucks or cars, I think there needs to be dedicated lanes for it, separate from other traffic, and pedestrians, and bikes, and all the things that, all the things that require second-to-second decision-making.
Well, let me invite the listeners to call in. If you have a question, a comment, a concern, we're talking about, this is Your Legal Rights, and we're talking about trucking law, new safety technology, and catastrophic accidents. The toll-free number, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255 will be on the air for about another 8 minutes or so. Let me just let those of you in the San Francisco Bay Area know about this. The San Mateo County Law Library will be having, and this is in advance, but I want to let people know about this, a noontime lecture on how to clean your criminal record. This will be on Wednesday, January 4th, 2017. It's not that far off, folks, as we all know, unfortunately. Time's going too fast. At noon on that date, and certified specialist in criminal law, attorney Christopher Morales, will discuss various ways to clean up a criminal record, including even how to obtain a certificate of rehabilitation and the steps necessary to apply for a pardon from the governor or the president. And you're invited to attend this free lecture at the Law Library, which is at 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City. That's on Wednesday, January 4th at noon. And you can bring your sack lunch. It's a beautiful facility, the library in Redwood City, across the street from the Hall of Justice, where the Superior Court is. And if you want more information, the Law Library number is 650-363-4913, 650-363-4913. But I want to give all of you who are listening, wherever you may be, whether you're listening on the radio, whether you're listening by way of the Internet at www.klw.org, or if you're listening by way of the NPR satellite, our toll-free number is 866-798-8255, and we're doing this program live on Wednesday, December 14th. And so let's see who we have now. Martin, who helps me on the program, is going to help me with that in just a moment. Rena and Joe, another issue before we take our next caller. What would you like to say?
Rena, you were going to talk about in-dash video. Do you want to do that?
Would you do that?
That technology, I don't know how much there's negative to say about it, but what I will say on the positive is that those dash cams have really been made a tremendous difference, I think, in the way that drivers conduct themselves, in the way, you know, the constantly the awareness of having a record of things. We had a case recently where a truck driver, though, even with all the best technology, he threw his shirt or some cloth over the dash cam to try to cover it, but actually left a little sliver.
Oh,
and then that sliver, as he, it was a horrible case where he drove right into a police officer and killed them, which is just horrible.
Oh,
and what the dash cam we were able to pick up later was that he was on Facebook while driving and looking at sites that I'm not going to discuss on your radio program. And so what I want to be clear is that sometimes those dash cams actually protect the truck driver because they're able to show that they were following the rules,
mm-hmm.
right?
I have looked at a couple of cases where, I'll tell you, the plaintiff's lawyers get all excited if they're going to get a dash cam of some kind. You know, coming out of a law enforcement background, I saw lots of dash cams. But in these situations, oftentimes, I mean, you know, the truckers have different feelings about whether they want to be watched while they're driving,
mm-hmm.
and I can absolutely understand and appreciate that. It does feel invasive. At the same time, to these truckers who had bad things happen, and you know, they had someone like me coming after them. And I looked at the dash cam, and the dash cam proved that they did everything that they were supposed to do.
Okay.
And they were able to go back to their homes, lay down and go to sleep at night, knowing that they weren't going to be embroiled in litigation and know that they weren't responsible for a terrible tragedy.
We are under the law today, whether it's federal or state, there is not a requirement to have a camera like this in a truck, is there?
No, there's not.
No. Do you feel that there should be?
I do. Yeah,
Rena does. I've got mixed feelings about it.
Do you?
I really do. And I think that, you know, I think that at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of like people would have different feelings about whether law enforcement people should always have body cams.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of an issue where,
sure.
But I think the drivers who I speak to, some of them just don't like them because of privacy issues,
sure.
but the ones who know that they're going to be driving safely, a lot of them really like them, and they after they get over the idea of the privacy piece, they say, you know what, it's a record for everybody, including my employer and everybody else, to say that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Well, let's take another call right now. Doug, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Doug, are you there? Hello, Doug? You know, this is strange. I don't know if we're having problems with our phone system or what's going on here, but I thought, Doug, are you there? Apparently not. Okay, we have Rena and Joe. We have about another, I'd say about another 5 minutes, or actually 4.5 minutes to go in the program. What have we not even touched upon, or what would you like to expand further on at this point?
Rena, if I could have 1 minute to talk about one safety thing that has gone through, but to show you how, you know, the world of politics intertwines with safety, and sometimes you end up getting a very watered down result. We have going into effect now. We have a rule that has to do with speed limiters, and unless there's some lawsuit that prevents that from going forward, we will very soon have this rule in place that will essentially govern tractor trailers speed.
This is a national law, Joe, we're talking about.
This is a federal regulation,
okay,
that will have the effect of being a national law,
mm-hmm.
in the trucking industry. However, what's happening is the law is only going to apply to brand new tractor trailers.
Oh, really?
So here's what's crazy about that. The technology has been built into trucks since about 1992. So there's literally a setting. All that would have to happen for this speed limiter law to govern to apply to trucks starting from about 1992 forward is somebody would literally have to flip a switch.
No kidding.
An electronic switch.
Wow.
And so, for people who have been fighting this fight for a long time, they're they're really disappointed that this is a sort of a day late and a dollar short. And what a lot of the safety people will say is, we have, even with the implementation of this rule, to show how much it doesn't go far enough, we lag far behind everybody in the European Union when it comes to this, and Canada. And essentially, what they like to say is, we lag behind every modern civilized country in requiring speed limiters.
Boy, that is very disappointing.
It is speed.
Oh my.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, physics is physics, and speed has a huge. You know, even when we're talking about that electronic braking, the emergency braking, even the wrecks that aren't prevented entirely, they're made much less severe. Why? Because we're able to get the speed down.
My God.
So, speed is, at the end of the day, if you don't have speed, you're not going to get hurt. There's probably exceptions to that, but speed kills, as they say. And so, this is a situation where politics sort of trumped the efforts that have been. It's been about a decade long effort to get speed limiters in play. That's how long it takes to get something like that. Imagine how long it's going to take to get, you know, forward collision avoidance and emergency braking.
Boy, I'll tell you, this is very disappointing, considering our high-tech industry and how significant it has become and will be in this country, that we're so far behind other countries. We have 1 minute left in the program. If both of you will try to fit that in. What do you want to talk about in the remaining 50 seconds of the program?
I'll just throw in that, you know, we would love to be out of it, put the foot out of business by no crashes occurring, right? I mean, if enough technology was used and the regulations were complied with, we would love to have no cases. That's the ideal. But given that that's not happening today, I just want to stress that it's really important as a consumer matter, you know, to seek an attorney that understands this area of the law, that the regulations are complex. It's not just an ordinary car case. You know, before I got into this area of the law, I thought that too. And it's complex, the relationship between the regulations and the technology, and then, you know, the ordinary law that goes with that. So if I can stress that, I think it's really important to make sure that all of your rights are being asserted.
That's very, very helpful. We have come to the end of the program. I want to thank you both very much. It's been great to have you both on the program. Rena Leiserman of the Toledo law firm of E.J. Leiserman and Associates, and Joe Freed of the Atlanta, Georgia law firm of Freed, Rogers, and Goldberg. Thank you both very much. Great to have you on the program. And thank you for all of the work that you are doing. Next time on Your Legal Rights, the topic will be employment law and a discussion of new California employment laws for 2017. My guests will be employment law attorneys Tom Lenz and Scott Stillman, who are also members of the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar of California. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McClain. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program for national distribution. The website for the National Board of Trial Advocacy is www.nbtalawyers.org. All one word. www.nbtalawyers.org. Now, I want you all to be really, really careful during this holiday season. I think we know what we've been talking about so far, so take care, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio, and please join us next time on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney.